Turn your Bible, John 14. Mike, he sent me a text the other day. I was going to read it. This is an amazing, amazing statement. He says, the enemy draws you to himself by offering you everything in the world. The Father draws you to himself by offering you everything in heaven. Isn't that powerful? The enemy will draw you to himself by offering you everything in the world. The Father will draw you to himself by offering you everything that is in heaven. That is just awesome. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. So, John 14, I just want to share this. These little scriptures is what I use to enter into the Father. It's kind of interesting because if you really meditate John, when the Lord said, believest, he that believeth on me, he always added to that. He said, he that believeth on me, if you'll really study what he asked you to believe. Notice what he says here in John 14 verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, that I dwell in the Father, and the Father dwells in me. Now, it's very important that he asked us to believe this. He says, the words I speak to you, I speak not of myself. My Father that dwelleth in me, not only does he give me the words to speak, but he doeth all the works that you've seen. Because Philip said, show us the Father. And now you have to understand this setting when he said this. They're not sitting in a field somewhere. They're in the upper room. They're in the upper room. There's only 11 disciples and the Lord. And the Lord starts talking about the Father. And Philip says, well, show us the Father. And the Father speaks to Philip. He says, have I been with you such a long time? You've not seen me, Philip? The Father was present with the Lord. And the Lord was adamant about us believing in this thing called union. Say union. Believe that I dwell in the Father. Believe the Father dwells in me. It's not the first time he said that. If you go to chapter 10, real quick, he said it there too. And he added something there. It was very powerful. Look at verse 36. Verse 37. Chapter 10, verse 37. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. How many of you like to preach the gospel like that? I'm talking about the works he was talking about, not the gift realm. The works he's talking about was, if you don't see the eyes of the blind open, if you don't see the deaf ears open, if you don't see the lame and the maimed and the poor and the blind, if you don't see this, don't even believe what I have to say to you. That's pretty powerful. He said, don't even believe me. In other words, I'll close the door of my ministry if my Father's not with me. That's what he's saying. His effectiveness in the last day church's effectiveness will be from the Father dwelling. Now notice what he says, but if I do the works of my Father, though you don't believe me, notice this, believe the works, for they're sent to testify of what? Not just of the Lord being the Savior of the world. Notice what they sent to testify, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. That's what he came to the world with. That's the message. I am the Savior of the world, but I'm here to reconcile the world to the Father. I'm here to bring you. Now, he brings that in chapter 14. He says, do you not believe? He said, believest thou not in this union? Go back to 14 for a minute. And the Lord asked me one day, he said, why do you think that I want you to believe in this union? And you know, in the old days when God asked me a question, I'd give him my, you know, theological masterpiece of an answer. Now I just say, I don't know, Lord, why? Because you're not asking me to tell you something you don't already know. When God asks you a question, yeah, generally he's not bankrupt of wisdom that day and needs your outstanding theological insight. He's asking you a question to get you to think about something. So your best answer says, I don't know, Lord, why? Let's practice that. I don't know, Lord. Why? See how easy that is? He said, believest thou not that I'm in the Father? He goes, notice what he says. He goes, you must believe in this union. You have to believe. What he wasn't just asking them to believe that he was a savior of the world. He was asking them to believe that the Father sent him. The Father's with him. He's in the Father and the Father's in him. Why was he asking us to believe that? Verse 12, for verily I say unto you, he that believes on me. When he said believes on me, he's he that believes in this union. You know why? It's because that was the very thing that he was about to introduce you to. He says, you have to believe in the union I have with my Father. If you cannot believe my Father dwells in me and I dwell in him, how am I ever going to bring you into that union? Because I'm about to do the impossible. I'm going to bring you a fallen creation. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to save you, restore you, and then I'm going to bring you into this union that I hold with the Father. I'm going to give you this union. Say, give you. I'm going to give you this union. Glory to God. I want to say glory. That's why he asked them to believe. So if you go on down, just go to chapter 17 for time's sake. So he said, believe in the union. Say, believe in the union. He tells them this in the upper room. Now you have to understand, the upper room is not, Jesus didn't go, okay, it's chapter 14 now in the upper room. Now we're going to chapter 15 in the upper room. Now we're going to chapter 16 in the upper room. Now it's chapter 17. Everything and from John 13 and a half all the way to 17 is all one whole masterpiece of a teaching. He didn't break it up in chapters and verses. In fact, he'd revert back to what he was talking about in chapter 14 and chapter 16. In a little while, he'd go back into that. But chapter 17, he's going to culminate all this. Because he asked them, believe in this union. Because that is what ultimately is the Lord's will. Seek and save the lost and restore man. Say, restore man to the union. Say, the union. Hallelujah. Restore man to the union. So, notice what he says, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, say, where I am. Where I am. That's his will. Where is he? He's dwelling in the Father. I will those you've given me, those that have been born again, now be with me where I am in the Father. That is ultimately the quest to be restored to the Father's love. Amen. Restore. We are spiritual beings. Everyone say, I am a spiritual being. I got a natural body. We must be connected because this restoration of this union happens in the realm of the spirit. It doesn't happen in the realm of the natural. You're going to be very hard pressed to find consistent union with the Father here. Union with the Father is there and he wills that. Now he said something that they may behold my glory. Now, a lot of times we look at that when he says that will they be with me where I am that they may behold my glory. We look at that as like the glory that came on Moses, the cloud of glory, the Shekinah glory. So we're coming up there to behold the glory cloud of God. But that's not really what he's saying here. When he said that behold my glory, will they be with me where I am that they may behold my glory? What was his glory? So his glory, he actually references his glory three verses earlier. And he says this, the four verses earlier. He says, I don't pray for these alone, verse 20, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Now listen, this is a prayer meeting. If you come here, we're here to pray today. Amen. We're here to enter into the Father. Glory to God. So he said, I pray for those, not only for these alone, but for them also which will believe on me through their word. Say, that's me. This word has come down through the ages. We've believed upon me. He's talking about me. He said, now they also may be one. Verse 21. Now, when you first read that, you think, well, he's just talking about the body of Christ in oneness. It would be one the same way God's one. But that's not what he's saying. You have to understand, this is his final prayer. This is the mystery of the ages right here. He said that they may be one, and he describes the oneness he's talking about. It's the same thing he asked you to believe in chapter 4. It's the same thing chapter 14. It's the same thing he references in chapter 10. He said they may be one, and here's the oneness. Father, you dwell in me. I dwell in you. Now they will become one in us, or they will now come dwell in us. In the same way we dwell in union together, not only angels do not even have this. You have to understand the angels do not have this. They are a created being, but they have not been given oneness with the Father. They are not sons and daughters of the Father. We have been given this oneness. They're given. That they may be one, that they also may be one in us. This was his will, that the world may believe you sent me. Now notice, it's the glory you gave me, Father. What's he talking about? The glory you gave me. Now think about this. The glory you gave me, I have given them. What's he saying? He wasn't talking about the glory cloud. He said, the glory you gave me to be one. The only one that was one with God was himself. Do you hear that? Nobody was one with God before this New Testament came in. It was the Lord, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They were one. Now, we're not one in as God, as deity, but we're one in union. Say union. He said, the glory you gave him me to dwell, that I dwell in you, you dwell in me, I'm given to them. Say it's been given. The glory, that's why he said, I will you be with me where I am that you may behold this glory. You may experience this union. You may encounter this union. You may partake of the Father. You see it? Are you breathing? You have to see that. Not only does he ask you to believe it, you need to see it, believe it, embrace it. But understand this. When he said, my glory I've given. He's given this to you. You cannot earn it. It's under a dispensation of grace. You cannot earn love. You cannot earn union. Believe me, the things that we do to try to earn union with God. How to earn love. Well, if I'll be good enough today, I'll get in. Ever approach the gate of the Lord and you get knocked out? You got a brick wall and all of a sudden you start inspecting. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? God's not accepting me today. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And then the enemy will start whispering all the stuff about your old man. And then that's why I can't get in. And so what you do is start trying to perfect all the stuff so God will accept you. You'll never make it to union like that. You'll never make it into consistent, constant union like that. The way we make it to union is by faith. The way we make it to union is by believing, understanding the position, understanding it's a position of grace, understanding it's a position that's been given to us by grace. How do I get through the veil when I don't feel very good about myself? How do I get through the veil when I'm wearing 1,000 pounds of weight? That's where desire alone won't pull you through the veil. Faith will pull you through the veil. The Lord gave the solution of how to do this. He said it twice. Go back to chapter 14. But if you understand these things, the one thing if you understand this is a grace given to you, it'll help you. I always say, no, the glory, you've given it to me. It's a grace. When my feelings are not lining up, when my life's not lining up with union, and I feel brick walls, and I feel separation, and I feel all this. How many of you ever feel the separation? You feel the brick wall. You feel, and you think something's wrong. It's a lot of times, you're just coming out of a earthbound system into a heavenly place. That separation has to be conquered by faith. If you'll do it God's way, you'll have a much greater success. Amen. Is this just beginning? I'm telling you, to restore to the Father's love, to be restored into the Father is just the beginning. Because from that position, the Father's going to come and start dreaming with you in the heart. I told Chuck this yesterday. I said the key to this, it makes this so powerful, because notice what he says in John 14. Oh, Lord, help me. I keep thinking I'm going to stop teaching. It keeps opening up. This is just awesome. John 14:21. He that have my commandments and keepeth them. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about these words. He says commandments, but if you look at his interpretation, look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said, if a man loves me, say, if a man loves me, how many of you love God? We're about to find out the litmus test if you love God or not. Are you sure you want to raise your hand? How many of you love God? Raise your hand. Okay, here's God's litmus test right here. You ready? This is his litmus test. I'm glad you all raised your hand. He says, if a man love me, everyone say, that's me, he will keep my words. He did not say he will do my words. He did not say he will do all my commandments. He said he will keep, not just, oh, these words that I'm talking to you in the upper room. You're going to keep these words I'm going to give you. My Holy Spirit's going to show you what I'm talking about. He's going to teach you how to keep the word. And when you keep the word, the Holy Spirit's going to bring you to me. I'm going to receive you where I am. And then I'm going to reveal the Father to you. Because if you keep these words, they have the power to pass you through the veil. If you don't, you're going to struggle. But if you learn to keep and become a master at keeping the words will pass you in. They'll bring you to the Father. And he says, when they bring you to the Father, my Father will love you. So the Father loves you regardless whether you keep the word or not. When he's talking about my Father will love you, he will initiate tangible love towards you. He will love you. Everyone say, love you. My Father will love you. And then what's he doing here? Introducing you to the union. He says, as soon as my Father loves you, that love is going to start initiating itself against everything in you that's separating you from him. And love's going to start plucking up the garden, replanting the garden, getting it ready for him to come and dwell in you. He says, my Father will love you, and then my Father and I will come and make our abode with you in the earth. What did he just describe? The exact same union that he had with the Father. Can you not believe that I dwell in the Father where he is, and my Father dwells in me where I am at? He says, if you'll follow these words, I'll bring you in the exact same thing I have. I'm going to bring you to the Father. He will love you. He's going to clear the house and make a place for himself in you. Sometimes your heart needs a lot of work and you don't know it. The hardest thing ever is to see your own heart. Others can see it, but the hardest thing ever is for you to see it. Amen? It's hard for us to see the heart. We can't see what God sees. We're seeing here. We don't understand our actions or our reactions. We understand through our filtration process, and many, many times, because of the need to be perfect, which was the original fall, if you'll eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be as God. You'll be perfect. And we're very much imperfect, but we want to be perfect, so we don't want anybody telling us that we're imperfect, so we will defend and justify who we are, what we do, through the lenses of our own belief system. And somebody can scream it to you, but you can't hear it. Well, honey, you know that. I read that in a book somewhere. Man, when the love comes in, he'll tear down the lens system. He'll tear down all the stuff that you couldn't see. Love. Now, that kind of love only going to happen to that level, that depth that's in the Father. And it comes through dwelling in the Father. And what the Lord's going to do is he's going to perfect the union as you learn to move into the Father and stay in the Father. And dwell in the Father. You're not going to do that if you're constantly subjected to a different kind of compass. The enemy, what's he going to do? Pull you to his system. What God's doing, pull you to his glory. The enemy's pulling you to the world constantly. You don't know you got enemies around you because you can't see them, but they're constantly pulling on you. What they're trying to do is keep you away. That's why he doesn't like this place very much. Because we point you to the Father. And he hates the Father because he used to stand in the worshiper. He led all the worship of heaven in front of the Father. He wanted all that glory for himself. Too bad. So sad. He said, my Father will love him, and then we will come and make our abode. And we'll perfect this union. This is how it's going to happen. All right? So he said, you'll keep my word. So one more. I promise I'm going to be done. Now, some of you may not have come to, may not know how we pray here today. I'll tell you in a minute. Go to John 17. Let me finish this. I use these words. This is how I go. I keep these words to get to the Father. I keep them in the midst of my heart. I'll hold them. They will produce if you'll hold them long enough. They'll move you through a veil that you cannot move yourself through. They'll move you through a veil, the desire alone. Now, you can worship through a veil, but a lot of times it can't keep you at that high place. The word not only will deliver you, but keep you there. Amen? That's why I said you'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If you'll ride on the words, they're so much more effective. Amen? A lot of times what worship does, you'll worship yourself into the presence. But these very words will move you into dwelling in the love of the Father. Amen? And there you will worship like nobody's business. So what do you do when you're the Father? Most of the time I'm singing, believe it or not. I'm singing. He loves my singing. He does. He thinks I sing awesome. Amen. Okay, one more verse. If I can find it. Go to 17. Got to keep these words. They'll get you into the love. You get into the love, you're going to get settled. You're going to get ready to become a birthing machine for heaven. I found a faith that works by love. Whew. You know why love's so important to your faith? Because I'm not talking about just love. I'm talking about the Father's dwelling love. Because this love will drop down into your heart. He'll come and dwell with you in your heart. Then he'll come and dream with you. And when he comes to dream with you, when he impregnates, or when he conceives your promise, he'll be there with it. And when he's there with it, he'll bring a security and love. Every day he's filling your heart with assurance, security, and love. So you're not fighting the battle of faith on your own anymore. He's with you in the battle of faith. He's with your faith, and he's fueling your faith with love. You can't get that until he comes to dwell in you. Amen? But when you learn to tap into that, your faith starts elevating every day instead of in war every day, because you're in the garden where the Father's dwelling. You're not exercising faith in the world. You're in a garden where the Father's dwelling and his love's dwelling there. And I'm telling you, it'll launch you. It'll launch you and your generations out. It'll remove the ceiling you've been contending with for the last 20 years. Everyone think God is going to drop it. God has a way. When you understand the way of God, you can birth. Amen? I'm going to show of hands. How many of you have a promise from God that's unfulfilled? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you actually have 80% of your promises fulfilled? Raise your hand. For the benefit of the internet audience, nobody's raising their hand. If I go to every church in across America, you're going to get the same reaction. The best you'll probably ever get is 2%. We'll have 80% of their vision fulfilled. There's something wrong with that picture. Well, you got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. Yeah, what we need to do is learn how it works. Because God is not filling the body of Christ with vision like he's doing, that we all die and not have the vision fulfilled. You know how many people die of a broken heart, unfulfilled vision? There's something wrong with that picture, and that is what God's trying to bring how does it work? I'm believing God's going to shift that number. Amen. We're going to shift that. We're going to start receiving fulfilled vision. Well, God will just do it. Well, gee, not one person has raised their hand in here. At one point, is he going to do it? How old do we got to get before he does it? What's he looking for? What's he waiting for? Meanwhile, somebody else, they take off in their vision and everything's happening for them. Why is he happening for them? Well, he loves them more than you. They may have tapped into something that you hadn't tapped in yet. Amen? But if we tap into this mystery right here, do you know within these chapters, he promises answered prayer to our vision. He promises it. When the Father comes a dwelling in the heart, ooh, that love does something in an amazing way. That love does something. It brings an assurance to your faith. It builds your faith every day. I mean, just imagine dwelling with God in your vision and the Father's with you every day. That kind of love is what's going to get you through to answered prayer. Amen. How many of you love to serve a God that actually answer your prayer? Big prayers. Big stuff. The kind he said that nothing's impossible to him that believeth. That's what we're after. That's what we're sitting on. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. That word is truth. When you first read that, you don't even know, you don't think, you know what that means? Sanctify means set them apart, separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does he mean by separate them, Father, unto you? Set them apart from the world unto you by these words that I'm giving them. He repeats himself from chapter 14. Sanctify them, set them apart, Father, by thy truth, for your word is truth. These words have the power to separate us into the Father. Isn't that glorious? Your life is going to get so much easier when you dwell with the Father. You struggle because it opens you up to so much grace and love, and life gets a lot easier for you. How many of you would like a little bit easier life? Raise your hand. Amen. Just a little bit easier. I want the yoke that's easy, the burden that's light. I want to be full of the love of the Father. Now,